muscles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
If better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
For your big game party, you better pop into Total Wine and More for a guaranteed win. We've got dozens of bottles down every aisle. Prices so low, they're gonna make you smile.
Drink responsibly, B21.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. High profile could be an understatement to describe cabinet nominees due at Senate confirmation hearings this week. On Capitol Hill, ABC's Jay O'Brien.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Trump's pick to run the Department of Health and Human Services, expected to get grilled by lawmakers on everything from false claims he's made on vaccines and antidepressants to his push to get fluoride out of the drinking water. Senators we know also preparing tough questions for Tulsi Gabbard, Trump's choice for Director of National Intelligence, zeroing in on past statements she's made sympathetic to Russia.
At least 300,000 people have returned to their homes in what's left of northern Gaza, says the Gaza government office, which also says they need at least 135,000 tents because most buildings are destroyed. Though rains help fire crews in Southern California, it's caused toxic ash, mud, and debris to flow across streets. A mixed day for Wall Street indexes, the S&P and NASDAQ lower. This is ABC News. The U.S. announcing Israel and Lebanon will extend their ceasefire for another 3 weeks until February 18th.
The extension comes after Israel's prime minister announced the IDF would not withdraw from some positions along Lebanon's eastern border with Israel, claiming Hezbollah was still in the area in violation of the ceasefire. Lebanon reporting more than 20 killed Sunday and 80 injured when returning civilians and some Hezbollah supporters clashed with the Israeli army. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
The cruise industry making a comeback after the pandemic. 19 million Americans are expected to set sail on a cruise this year, an increase of 34% over pre-pandemic levels. More vacationers are opting for shorter cruises of just 3 or 4 days. Warm destinations like the Caribbean are the most popular, more people traveling on older, established cruise ships as prices are lower. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Flu hospitalizations at UW Health and Madison are at their highest number in 3 years. 40 patients have been hospitalized there for the flu. Dr. Dan Shirley says there's things to do to make sure you and your loved ones are staying safe.
People mostly should pay attention to their own health and their family's health. And if you're sick, first step is to stay home and try to keep yourself away from others as much as you can. If you need to go out, for example, we have things to suggest, like wearing a mask or staying out of large groups.
Shirley says it's also crucial for people to get tested, especially those older than 65 or the very young. Minnesota man accused of helping his son hide four bodies in western Wisconsin is sentenced to prison.
The victims were shot and killed in St. Paul in September 2021. Darren L. Osborne's son, Antoine Suggs, was convicted of the killings in 2023 and is serving a 103-year sentence. Online court records show a Dunn County judge on Thursday sentenced the 59-year-old St. Paul man to 16 years in prison, or 4 years for each victim. Osborne also received 8 years extended supervision. In October, a jury found him guilty of four counts of hiding a corpse. He's currently in the Dunn County Jail and will serve his Wisconsin sentence concurrently with the remainder of a 5-year sentence he received in Minnesota in 2022. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin home sales rose nearly 5% last year, but there continues to be an affordability problem. Wisconsin Realtors Association economist Dave Clark.
Prices have been going up, you know, certainly a fairly robust rate. That's really because we have tight supply and still have pretty strong demand for housing.
The realtors report prices increased nearly 9%, with a median price of $310,000 last year, but much higher than that in both the Milwaukee and Madison areas.
At AdMed Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few sprinkles or flurries today and a warmer day, but the main story will be the breeze. High temperatures in the mid to upper 30s. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, still breezy with lows in the upper teens. Still breezy on Tuesday with a high near 40. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
And good to have you with us. Welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. We have plenty to discuss on our program today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. We'll get a rundown of the weather. Are we going to see warmer temperatures? Are we going to see a pattern shift anytime soon in the U.S.? Things still remaining pretty dry. What's the latest on South America? John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, will be joining us for a conversation in segment two. After the bottom of the hour in segment three, we're going to hear from Mike Steenhoek, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, and talk about a number of logistics issues that he is keeping an eye on here through the winter months. Maybe all the tariff talk, could that have an impact as well? We're going to talk about that a little more in depth with Mike Steenhoek later in the show. Also, we will take a look at news headlines coming up later on in the program, some of the latest stories we're following in the world of agriculture. Let's kick things off and take a look at what's happening in the markets to start off the week. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, is with us. Darren, good to have you back. And you know, I'll just start by saying a interesting weekend of headlines that we thought were going to have an impact on the market, but then they kind of resolved themselves to some degree. I'm talking tariffs, the potential U.S.-Colombia trade war that has seemingly gone by the wayside, but just another potential volatile piece I think these markets got to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. You know, as I've talked about lately, this is something that the algorithms are going to have to relearn, is that things are said every day and then changed the next day. But they are said every day for the purpose only of gauging reaction, for getting a reaction, for gauging reaction. There's no meat. There's no substance to any of it. It's all about trying to get markets to move one way or the other, or at least that's one of the ripple effects of it. So, I mean, we saw how the algorithms adjusted from between 2016 to 20. They grew tired of it. They basically started to ignore it. And I'm talking about financial markets, commodity markets, equity markets, whatever. They got to where they ignored it. but it's kind of, you know, that this first week that we just went through was a reawakening of, look, we have to change the way these programs are written, what they react to, because it's just the same old story. It's, you know, you throw the keyword out there, you know, throw the word tariff out there, throw the words trade war out there to see what happens, to see what kind of reaction you can get, and then change it the next day and then flip-flop the next and so on. That's the world we live in. And that's the one where we're going to have to get used to again.
That's a great point. Great point. I do want to ask you about the fund positions in the grains. That's something that we've continued to pay attention to. There's been some changes, I know, in recent weeks. What's the latest from the CFTC report?
Yeah, this is the vulnerability, is that, you know, particularly, let's say in the corn market, we saw them add substantially to their already large net long position. So now we've got large net long futures, we've got a long futures position, all the while we've got real fundamentals, which is basis and future spreads, which are growing less bullish, more bearish, seemingly every week. So you've got this divergence between money coming in, you've got, you know, the funds, you know, adding to their position, you've got the, you know, the commercial side getting putting more pressure on the market, and all the while you've got this chaos rocketing around and the outside creating noise. To me, this makes the markets more vulnerable, not only in corn but also in soybeans, where we've seen funds, you know, changing their net long, you know, changing over to a net long future position, but most of it's still coming just from covering short futures. This leaves the door open to say, okay, once funds have had enough of this, they start adding short futures positions back, particularly if there is no fundamental reason to be buying. So again, just as with corn, only a slightly different situation, the soybean market is vulnerable over the coming weeks to increased selling.
You wrote a great piece on the bar chart website on Monday morning that I do want to ask you about as well, as I know President Trump has said he is wanting to demand that the Federal Reserve cut interest rates immediately, yet there's no indication that that's going to happen, at least until the May meeting. What's your take on this and what impact it could potentially have?
Again, this goes back, I mean, it's a little disconcerting. You know, during the campaign, you know, he said that he should have, only him as president, should have final say in any interest rate decisions that are made. And since he doesn't have that power, at least not as of yet, what he's, you know, he's now coming out and demanding the FOMC do this. Well, you know, Chairman Powell has already said he's going to do what the job requires. He's going to continue to follow, you know, what he is supposed to do and not just turn over a blank check to the president. So we're going to see a disagreement on this. For now, the FOMC is going to continue to work as it does until the rules are changed, and then we'll see what happens.
I also, we should touch on this, Darren, again, watching the last couple of sessions in the livestock sector, records in cash and cattle futures, just a red hot market that's not showing any signs of slowing down anytime soon, it appears.
No, it doesn't. And you're right. I mean, we've got futures positions, you know, net futures positions and futures positions going to new all-time highs. As you mentioned, we've got record highs going in the cash market. Yeah, this won't last forever. And, you know, at some point it is going to turn around. Gravity, market gravity will take its effect. And something we have to keep an eye on is, you know, Friday we did see the U.S. stock indexes move lower. And there is this connection between stock indexes and live cattle and cattle markets. So we saw them under pressure Friday. They're under, you know, the indexes are again under pressure on Monday. But yet, you know, we've got the cattle markets again glowing green here as we start the week. There's, you know, we talked about divergences in grains. We're also seeing some divergences here in the cattle industry that could have, you know, that could come into play in the weeks and months ahead.
Darren, great stuff as always. Final thoughts. We got about a minute here. Anything you would mention you're watching this week or anything you'd reiterate to folks?
Yeah, you know, with a lot of this trade talk, you know, I was in trade tariffs and everything, you know, my focus has been on the grains, but my son brought to my attention, you know, we need to keep an eye on things like coffee and sugar and so on, because those are going to be drawn into this as well, particularly with all the talk about Colombia over the weekend.
And that's a great point. And just, again, plenty of volatility that we're going to have to pay attention to in these markets and manage that risk. I know folks can find more on your website, DarrenNewsom.com. Follow you on all the social media, et cetera, et cetera. With that, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, sir, here on AOA, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Darren Newsom with us here on the show, joining us for a conversation. And again, a lot of important things that we need to keep an eye on here in these markets, no doubt. Coming up next on AOA, another big piece of the market conversation week to week is the weather. What are we watching here in the U.S.? We're going to get a pattern shift anytime soon. What about South America? What is happening in Brazil and Argentina as they're getting their soybean harvest underway in Brazil? We'll talk with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way next on AOA. Are you heading to NCBA in San Antonio? On Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
As we continue here on AOA, let's take a look at what the weather situation is shaping up to be as we close out the month of January. Hard to believe we've already put in almost a full month of 2025. How do things look in the U.S. and South America as we are shifting into February? Let's get the details. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is back with us. John, good to have you back on AOA after a week away. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Yeah, good to be back with you, too. Vacation's always nice, but I don't know, kind of getting back into the grind of things and, and getting my head back on to what's going on here with the weather. That's kind of my thing anyway. So it's good to be back with you. And luckily, we're getting rid of some of this cold air. I mean, most of January was pretty darn cold. I think for a lot of areas, it's going to be a top five coldest January in our record. So it's been a month. I'll say that.
I would agree. I think I saw that stat as well. A lot of records being set for cold weather in January. And it's just been a kind of an odd month. We were talking during the commercial break that you made this point to me. They've had more snow in New Orleans this winter than they've had in Minneapolis. I mean, that's in itself is just a weird headline to think about. But I think that points to the broader drought concerns, lack of precipitation in much of the Midwest and the plains, et cetera, here as we've gone through the last, you know, several months. Right, John?
Yeah. And that 8 inches of snow they got last week there in New Orleans was more than they're like, I can't remember the exact stat, but I think it was their last 50 years combined. So it was kind of a freak event, but I mean, it's been kind of a freak month. And yeah, I mean, we've had some major events go through kind of the middle and southern end of the country. The colder air was able to penetrate a little bit deeper than it usually does. And so, yeah, the Midwest kind of missed out on a lot of it. We've been getting clippered up here. So light snow events for the most part. Areas around the Great Lakes have gotten their fair share of some heavy snow. And we're dealing with a couple more clippers here this week across the north. And really the Great Lakes and Northeast are getting in on those. So some snow, some like enhanced snow, a little bit of wind, for some of these areas. Clippers usually bring that, but we're not bringing through the cold air with it, which is kind of nice. This week is finally a warmer week to end the month of January, really across most of the country. And so that's kind of nice, I guess. And then there's one more feature, you know, over the weekend, we saw an upper level low kind of move down into California. They finally got some rain down there after all those wildfires. Unfortunately, it's not really a good thing for them. It helps them fight the fires and build up some moisture, but it also leads to mudslides and everything on where those fires occurred. So kind of good and bad for them. That moves across the country here later this week, getting out into the southern plains on Wednesday and then kind of moving up into the northeast for Thursday, Friday, maybe even to early Saturday. But it kind of misses a lot of the upper Midwest, the northern plains that are in kind of those deeper drought areas, and kind of goes through the areas that, you know, don't necessarily need the precipitation right now. It'll be nice to have it, and it'll be good for the river systems to get some of this moisture in there too. We've been seeing water levels on the Mississippi and Ohio falling again. So that'll be good, but it's missing some of these drought areas, and that's continuing to be a concern here as we go forward.
I know we're going to talk about some of those river level issues with Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition coming up here in just a little bit. We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek right now on AOA. John, as we shift into February, are we going to see any sort of meaningful pattern shift potentially here to maybe bring us some precipitation to some of these areas? Could the jet maybe flip around? Is there anything on the horizon that we're watching that maybe we see a pattern change here as we get into next month?
Yeah, Jesse, I think we do. You know, after this week, it's kind of warm and we get the one system to move from the southwest to the northeast. That kind of sets into motion a shift in the pattern that does look like it'll be around for a good chunk, if not all of February here. And it's kind of a pattern we typically see during La Nina in February's anyway. So it's kind of coming up to a historical normal here. And in that, we get this kind of trough of cold air over Western Canada and the Pacific Northwest, and more of a ridge of high pressure and warmth across the southeast. And right in between, you can imagine just storm systems love to move through that area. So we should see a much more active pattern if we get, you know, just kind of the right things developing at the right time. We could see some big storm systems move through the middle of the country. And yeah, that does have the potential to bring us some better precipitation for some of these drought areas in the upper Midwest, in the northern plains. Not guaranteed, because if it is a little bit too cold, it pushes those storms south. But we do have some potential. We have some opportunity here through the month of February. And like I said, it's probably a good chunk, if not all of the month, to see some of these storm systems move through. And so we'll get some better precipitation in those areas, but that also means better precipitation for the Ohio Valley in particular, maybe into the southwestern plains wheat areas that, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot over the last couple of months after the pretty wet month of November. And so I think it sets up into a position I think a lot of us would like to see, even if we don't like to see a whole bunch of snow and it kind of messes with our psyche we have to deal with it up here in the north. I think we'd like to see some precipitation just because it's been so dry for a very long time up here. And we kind of need that moisture before we hit spring.
Let's talk about South America as we are getting a harvest underway in parts of Brazil for soybeans. I know there's been talk about continued rains in northern and central Brazil that if they continue, it could lead to some issues, some quality concerns, some delays that could delay Safrida corn planting. So starting in Brazil, what's the latest you are hearing there in terms of their weather outlook?
Yeah, we got to kind of remember what happened when they were planting. They had some really dry weather there at the end of September and into October that really condensed their planting schedule down. So they were very late planting that early crop, but they were able to get enough rainfall there in mid-October to really finish at a normal pace. So it's really condensed into a very short period of time. So last week, then they had some pretty good weather, and we'd be expecting them to be out there harvesting their beans. But since their planting was so far delayed, they weren't able to make a whole lot of progress just because there wasn't a whole lot of beans out there ready to be picked. So they had some decent weather. They did make some small progress, but they're way behind normal harvest pace there in central Brazil, especially for soybean harvest. And unfortunately for them, now that they should be, that time period for when they caught up is catching up here in over the next 7 days, they've got some really, really wet weather to deal with over the next week to 10 days here at least. So it's definitely going to push things back. We already had the time crunch because of the late, start to planting earlier this season. And, they really try to get through roughly 80 to 85% of that soybean harvest by the third week of February. That's less than a month away, and trying to go from, single digits where they're around 4% harvested there now to 80% in, just 3 or so weeks. So that's going to be a difficult task, especially when you have a whole bunch of rain to deal with. So they're going to definitely have some concerns there. The heavy rain also has, quality issues for soybeans that are ready to be harvested. So it's really going to be kind of a mess for them. You got transportation issues to deal on top of that. I mean, most of their roads are dirt, and it doesn't hold water very well. So they have all kinds of issues with washed out roads and everything too. So everything's going to be a mess for at least the next 7, probably 10 days down there in central Brazil. They may get a period that's a little bit better coming off of that, but I don't know how long that'll last. It looks like maybe it's just a few days. It's definitely going to be something to look at here over the next couple of weeks, how much progress they can actually make in all this rain. My guess is not a lot, but they're used to it down there. I mean, it rains every year pretty heavy down there this time of year. So they make progress somehow, but man, it seems it's definitely more rainfall than normal. So it's going to be a little tough.
Got about 45 seconds. We've been seeing downtrending crop conditions in Argentina. Any updates there real quick, John?
Yeah, probably not a lot of change. They got some rain over the weekend. They'll get a little bit more here the next couple of days, but not a lot. And with temperatures rising up again here and getting dry later this week, still a lot of stressful conditions down there in Argentina. So it's starting to look a lot more like La Nina down there as well.
All right. I know folks can stay up to date with the weather, dtnpf.com for more information. DTN meteorologist John Baranek, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. You too, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. John Baranek with DTN joining us for a look at the weather here on today's AOA. Well, I mentioned this during the segment there with John. Low water levels, a bit of a concern for some folks across agriculture. We're going to get an update on the impacts there to the soy industry. We'll talk about other issues with Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. He'll join us next here on AOA Agriculture of America.
by the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals, to businesses, to governments, and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Farm Rescue and Giving Hearts Day are a match made in heaven. This year, on Farm Rescue's 20th anniversary, some of our greatest supporters have blessed us by offering up to $500,000 to match donations made to Farm Rescue for Giving Hearts Day. Giving is open now through February 13th, and we invite you to make these blessings count with a gift to Farm Rescue today at givingheartsday.org.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25 Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. February milk up 59 to 1989, March up 55 to 1957, April up 43 to 1946, May up 30 to 1943. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, pretty choppy day in live and feeder cattle markets, as the Friday's cattle on feed report was indeed bullish. For feeder cattle, there was some profit taking in some of the deferred contracts. However, for live cattle, most of the contracts were higher due to higher boxed beef prices, and that helped traders to move prices up. Meanwhile, hog markets also continued to rally as well. The contracts are near resistance levels because of the continued support in which they're seeing from consumer demand, and that helped to support the market. February live cattle up 90 cents to 205.67. January feeder cattle up $1.02 to 279.72. February hogs up 75 cents to 83.05. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat were all mostly lower. Some strength in the dollar pressuring wheat markets. A lower weekly export inspections report for soybeans last week pressuring markets. And really overall for the grains as well, continued concerns about the potential tariff issues regarding Canada, Mexico, and Colombia. New crop corn down 2 3/4 to 458 1/4. New crop beans down 5 1/2.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
At Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB. Bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, there are plenty of things that we are keeping an eye on in the world of agriculture when it comes to logistics and any potential challenges we could see there as we get into the spring planting season in the U.S., challenges for exports, etc. Also, the new administration, what is happening with tariffs, and much more. There's a lot going on right now. Let's get some perspective. Joining us for a conversation, he is the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike Steenhoek is with us. Mike, welcome back to the show. Hope all is well.
It's going well, Jesse. It's always good to be with you.
Well, let's start. I'll start with a positive here that we should comment on. And I know that
I saw the news. You guys supported this, of course, the longshoreman's deal that happened here a few weeks ago. And I know there's still a lot of T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted, so to speak. But that was definitely a positive to see that and avert a potential crisis once again at the ports on the Gulf Coast and the East Coast. Right, Mike?
Yeah, that was really important. And, you know, one of the things I routinely talk about is I would rather have a predictably good supply chain than a sporadically great supply chain. That really the key virtue of a functioning supply chain is whether it's predictable and reliable. And when you have potential disruptions, and in this case on the potentially on the East and Gulf Coast ports, that really sows a lot of uncertainty and question marks into our supply chain. So we were very happy to see an agreement get achieved. We still don't know the details of what they agreed to on the most contentious issue, which was automation, and the degree to which that will be allowed and permitted in the future. The longshoremen have been adamantly opposed to any expansion of automation. The port operators, the port authorities, they want increased automation so that they can be more competitive with ports elsewhere around the world. So we're still waiting to see that specific language. But again, it was, you know, good news that, you know, an agreement was achieved. So that's one less thing to really be concerned about.
Well, shifting over to things I think we need to be concerned about, let's start with the river system. We were just talking in the last segment with John Baranek from DTN about some of the challenges when it comes to water levels, so seeing lower levels again on the Mississippi system, et cetera. What is, what's the latest you're hearing? And, you know, this whole situation, I mean, depending on if things get worse, I'd have to think we could start to see impacts to soy exports again, Mike.
Yeah, that is something that certainly is a concern. You know, really since November, we have had some additional precipitation into the system, which has taken the edge off and elevated water levels. But we're very much still at that kind of knife's edge as far as if we have a prolonged period without any kind of precipitation, you know, water levels will retreat. And all of a sudden we're back into that situation where barge services is mitigated and the efficiency is mitigated. This is the time of year you really want the river levels to get recharged. And obviously it really expands into the spring with the rainfall we normally get. This is the time we need to start building up inventory of water. And unfortunately, that's not happening to a significant degree right now. So it does remain a concern.
Are there any other concerns across the supply chain, rail, trucking, logistics, any other things there that you're keeping an eye on, Mike?
Well, one of the things that we're really anxious to see is, yeah, obviously we're in a transition from now with a new administration from an old administration. You know, arguably one of the key features of the previous administration that did enjoy significant support was the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the bipartisan infrastructure law. And so seeing how this new administration, the degree to which they continue this kind of trajectory of additional investment into infrastructure, President Trump has long talked about how he is an adamant supporter of infrastructure investment. We obviously would like to see that continue, because when you think about all these state departments of transportation out there, they a lot of the projects that they fund are reimbursed using federal dollars. And so having that strong signal from the federal government about what their intentions are, the degree to which they're going to vigorously invest in our infrastructure, that's a very important signal that the administration can extend. Every single Department of Transportation, Republican or Democrat, that's something that they very much covet. So we're hopeful we'll receive some really strong messages from that on that regard.
Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director for the Soy Transportation Coalition, is with us here today on AOA. Speaking of the new administration, Mike, let's talk tariff potential. Now, we saw over the weekend, of course, the spat between the U.S. and Colombia seemingly getting resolved here. And I don't think of Colombia as a major soybean importer from the U.S. I know they're a major corn importer, but just by and large right there, coupled with all the other tariff talk with Canada, Mexico, China, the EU, etc., I think we're seeing that some of this tariff talk is a negotiation tactic, but is also, by and large, a real concern for the ag industry. What's your view and what are you seeing right now? Just some of the trade rhetoric we're getting from this administration.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is a concern. And, you know, the Colombia, you know, we've increasingly sent farmer delegations to Colombia, really building that market. And there's some obvious, it's become a very important one for us and has a lot of potential in the future. And so with a lot of these markets that farmers have really invested a lot of time, energy, and resources to try to develop, we want to see that continued. You obviously, there are some major points of dispute internationally when it comes to things like illegal immigration, narcotics coming into the United States, unfair trade practices. We don't dismiss any of those, and those need to be, you know, vigorously enforced and in some cases prosecuted. Well, one of the things I think we also need to keep in mind is obviously U.S. agricultural exports and trade not only provides economic benefit to rural America, but I think there's also a bigger picture out there. It's one of the most effective ways of projecting American strength and vigor in the international marketplace. So projecting American strength is not just about establishing embassies. It's not just having a naval fleet. One of the most effective ways of extending American strength is feeding other countries, providing protein and nutritional needs to other countries. And U.S. farmers are arguably among the best in the planet of being able to do that. And so in the process of trying to address some of these very legitimate issues that we do have, we would hate to see that diminish to any extent. Not only would it not help American farmers, but I also would think it would not help America's standing in the global marketplace.
Well, there's, of course, been a lot of talk about the U.S.-China relations, and I know we just saw a bill introduced in both the House and the Senate looking at revoking China's permanent trade status. That news, I noticed, came out last week, their normalized trade relations status. So, I mean, and we think about soybeans, we think a lot about China, but it's, I would say that some of the trade concerns go beyond China. I mean, Canada, Mexico, the EU, there's a lot of key customers here for the U.S. that could be under tariff concerns here that could have a pretty big impact, right, Mike?
Yeah, and you know, when you start mitigating those trade relationships, those export markets, not only is it going to have a negative impact on U.S. farmers, but I think an important thing to keep in mind is that some industries create the ripple effect and other industries ride the ripple effect. And farming is arguably the industry that's a great example, the best example of the stone getting dropped into the pond, and it creates this ripple effect that allows other industries to flourish. It's, you see, you know, agricultural manufacturing, John Deere, Case IH, other you know, Bridgestone, Firestone, all of these companies that rely on a healthy agricultural sector, if they in turn are going to be healthy as well. And so if all of a sudden we see farmers being negatively impacted economically, in part because a diminished export market, you're going to see that ripple effect manifest itself throughout the broader economy.
Mike, good perspective. Final thoughts as we get close to wrapping up the segment here today. I mean, anything else on the trade tariff front you're watching, or anything else going on with the Soy Transportation Coalition you'd want to mention today?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, you've got this, you know, each link in the supply chain is critically important. And, you know, for us to be able to compete in the international marketplace, it's not just about growing the crop and it's not just having demand for that crop. We have to make needed investments in maintaining and enhancing our supply chain. You know, I think, you know, the current administration, I think they clearly get that. We look forward to working with them and in promoting that transportation system that not only allows farmers to be profitable, but the broader economy as well.
And I know you mentioned some of those investments too, and I'll make note. We've seen some good investments here in recent years in some of our infrastructure. I think about in the PNW and the Great Lakes system as well. Those are things that you and I have talked about before. There's been some good investment here recently, right, Mike?
Absolutely. And so we certainly want to keep that going. And, you know, by transportation, it can and should be a bipartisan issue. It's been that way in the past, and we think that can be that this way in the future. And so we certainly look forward to promoting that and being of assistance in any way possible.
Absolutely. I know folks can go to soytransportation.org for more information, soytransportation.org. With that, he's the executive director for the Soy Transportation Coalition, Mike Steenhoek. Always good to hear from you, Mike. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Jesse. Always a pleasure.
Mike Steenhoek with the Soy Transportation Coalition joining us here on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at Ag News headlines to close out the show today. We'll have some more sound bites and the latest on last week's Senate confirmation hearing for USDA nominee Brooke Rollins. Also, some updates that potentially could have impacts on the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline in South Dakota. We'll get to Ag News coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother was saying he got life insurance from Ethos. With Ethos, it only took 10 minutes and he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours, so it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
In San Antonio, on Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Hi, I'm your kid's old jeans. I've been in the drawer for a while and really missed the playground. You should swing by Goodwill and drop me off. Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. Plus, I can get back into the game. Donate today. Tag, you're it.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
It got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, the American Farm Bureau Federation convention is ongoing in San Antonio, Texas, and convention attendees are getting an inside track on the USMCA review process. U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement will soon be up for review between the three North American neighbors. Dave Salmonson, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau, shared up-to-date information on the review process during a convention workshop in San Antonio.
There is a built-in review process to make sure that the agreement is living up to what the three countries wanted to. So the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, each country will start thinking about it this year, defining their goals, and really deciding, is this merely a review, look at some tweaks, how is it working, or is this going to be a real negotiation? Are there real big substantive issues that need to be changed and renegotiated?
He says the three countries will likely have many topics to discuss during the process.
I think the way things have developed, different issues, a lot of things have happened, especially in U.S.-Mexico relations. You have a lot of growing concerns about country of origin for auto parts and autos. Of course, we also have several agricultural issues that are continuing.
And Salmonson says it's important to keep an eye on the outside factors that may influence the process.
President Trump issued an executive order called the America First Trade Policy, and it's really a direction for all federal agencies to look at a variety of trade issues, but specifically on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. So there certainly is a opportunity and a potential that all this discussion about USMCA may not wait till 2026.
The American Farm Bureau Federation convention continues through Wednesday in San Antonio. Well, President Trump's pick to head USDA, Brooke Rollins, was challenged at her Senate confirmation hearing on the farmer impact of Trump's threatened tariffs. Michigan Democrat Alyssa Slotkin reminded Brooke Rollins that she's likely to be confirmed as USDA secretary and would swear an oath to the Constitution, not President Trump. Therefore, it would be up to Rollins to protect farmers against a new tariff war.
So can you say, I know you've said it, that you will throw your body in front of the bus to make sure that any political talking point on tariffs that may sound good is actually truly tested against how it will impact our farmers, like it was not last time around.
That last time around being when Trump and former Secretary Sonny Perdue dipped into Commodity Credit Corporation funds to rescue producers with some $24 billion in market facilitation payments. Rollins admitted that might happen again, but perhaps with more USDA input.
And yes, my commitment is that there will be no sleeping
that we will work around the clock to ensure that our ag communities across this country are represented in those discussions and at the table.
Rollins was President Trump's domestic policy advisor in his last administration and suggested she'll have his ear on tariffs and in reducing a now chronic ag trade deficit.
President Trump is the consummate deal maker. His heart for rural America and for our farmers and ranchers, I think, will hopefully lead the way. I certainly will be right next to him, whispering in his ear as we move forward on this. And I think and hope and pray that we can begin to solve for this immediately.
And hopefully, Rollins said, turn the last 4 years, $45 billion ag trade deficit back into a trade surplus. Of course, the threat of tariffs continue to be talked about over the weekend. Issues between the U.S. and Colombia. Colombia initially rejecting a plane full of migrants from the U.S. President Donald Trump then threatened steep tariffs of 25% or more on Colombia amid the rejection of those migrants. Colombia set to issue its own tariffs, but then seemingly doing an about-face and now sending their own military plane to collect migrants to take back to the country. So it appears the potential of a trade war between the U.S. and Colombia is off the table for now. Colombia, the third largest buyer of U.S. corn, and 5% of all unshipped U.S. corn sales are destined to Colombia, according to USDA trade data. The U.S. ethanol industry could also suffer from a possible trade war from Colombia, as ethanol producers sent a record volume of product to Colombia during 2024 to help satisfy its 10% mandate. Plus, Colombia is a fairly large importer of meat products from the U.S. as well. So again, a trade war with Colombia could have some wide-ranging consequences for U.S. agriculture, but it appears we've stepped back from the brink of a trade war here over the weekend, but still the threat of tariffs hanging out there for Canada, Mexico, China, and others. So take a look at other ag news headlines here today. Congressman John Molinar of Michigan, Republican from Michigan, and New York Democrat Tom Suozzi have introduced the Restoring Trade Fairness Act, the first bipartisan bill that would revoke China's permanent normalized trade relations. Molinar saying, quote, the act is a critical step toward ending the unfair economic practices of the Chinese Communist Party that have hurt American workers and weakened our national security. The congressmen say this legislation will safeguard U.S. national security, enhance supply chain resilience, and bring manufacturing jobs back to America and our allies. Suozzi saying, quote, this bipartisan bill makes the message clear that the Chinese Communist Party cannot receive preferential treatment because of its unfair trade practices, end quote. Senators Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas, and Republican from Indiana Jim Banks have introduced companion legislation in the Senate as well. And finally, here today on the show, as we continue to watch the ongoing battle over carbon pipeline projects in the Midwest, the South Dakota Legislative Committee on Friday passed a bill aimed at limiting carbon pipeline projects by stripping the power of eminent domain for carbon dioxide transportation. House Bill 1052, which passed 10-3, would prevent companies like Summit Carbon Solutions from using eminent domain to acquire private land for pipeline construction. The bill's prime sponsor, Speaker Pro Tempore Carla Lems, called the legislation the people's bill, saying it responds to voter opposition to a similar pipeline measure last year. Lems saying eminent domain is a power that can be easily abused. Supporters of Summit's pipeline warned the bill would effectively end the project in South Dakota. Summit attorney Brett Kanicki argued that eminent domain is necessary for negotiation, pointing to an example where a landowner was offered nearly $500,000 for land access. The South Dakota Chamber of Commerce also opposed the bill, questioning its narrow focus. Despite opposition, though, the bill passed the committee with strong backing from anti-pipeline activists. The bill now heads to the full House in South Dakota for a vote. And in recent weeks, Summit Carbon Solutions has received permits to build its pipeline in Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota. With that, we're out of time here on AOA. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we'll have a conversation with the National Family Farm Coalition, talk about some of their priorities for the new Congress and more. We'll also take a look at livestock trade with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. For now, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7. 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
Lowe's knows how to help make your Super Bowl 59 party a touchdown. Let us help you prep your home to host with top brands like Charbroil, Blackstone, and LG, so you can be the MVP of game day. Plus, use the Lowe's app to find what you need for a seamless shopping run. Or huddle up with our Lowe's Red Vest associates to help make all your game time hosting decisions.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Amid more immigration raids around the U.S., saying they won't hinder proper investigations, but adding that even undocumented immigrants